turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Begin reading at verse 10. I'm sorry, I know that has verse 1, but begin reading at verse 10. I'm reading from the King James Version. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestries. Her clothing is silk, purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh him fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. To the reading, hearers, and doers of his word. Today is, as we said, is Mother's Day. It's a very special day. It's a very, it was a day that I was looking forward to and planning because today we honor and recognize Sister Moore and being a mother of the church. So today is a very special day. And also, it's a very special day because God has allowed us to be in the house of prayer once again to share his word and to tell of his goodness. Amen. This chapter begins with the king recounting advice of his mother that she had gave him. She exhorted him to not fall to weakness that would compromise his position as king, but to care for the poor. One of weakness, the king's mother mentioned, was talking about character. It's important that parents, mothers, instill into their children a word from God and a word of wisdom, because they're going to need that, because the devil is going to and fro, and trust me, he wants your children, amen, and he wants you too, amen. So basically his mother, he's recounting, and it's good to go over what your parents have taught you and has given you. I remember my grandmother, a few years before she passed, right when I was transitioning from childhood to adulthood, my grandmother instilled some things in me that really I can apply even now today. She said to me, "What's done in the dark could be brought to light." She wasn't necessarily talking about me doing bad things, but what she was basically saying, that those hidden things that are out there, that light is going to be shined on it. See, when a child of God walk into an area of darkness, that light should shine. Amen? So whatever is hidden should be exposed. That's what my grandmother was saying to me. And that came true when there was some things that was going on, and people try to set traps for you. And my grandmother said to me, "What's done in the dark will be brought to light." Well, there were some things that was trying to get me caught up, but that light that I had on me shined it where I was able to see that foolishness that was going on. So I recalculated and was thinking of what my grandmother had said to me as I'm reading this information, the word from God here. A woman who partners with her husband is what, this text is also talking about, you know, working with your husband. We need to understand that it's working together and being together. I mean, there's nothing, I don't have an issue whether a woman works or whether she's at home, but my thing is, when you have a woman that's at home, and she is doing like I've seen my grandmother do. My grandmother, she was a stay-at-home mom. But I'm going to tell you, what she was doing in the home, it was better than any paycheck that was coming in. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because what she was doing inside of that home was very valuable. And I'm going to tell you something. It had great benefits to it. I mean, the benefits was nothing compared to what you have on your job. I get more into that later, but what I'm trying to get you to understand is that when you have a virtuous woman, someone who with wisdom that's providing for the family, it's a lot of work to just stand at home. It's not just being a couch potato. I mean, just sitting there and just looking at the walls, and when your husband get home, you ready to go somewhere and spend some money. No, it's about taking care of the home. Amen. The wife of Proverbs 31 she wasn't afraid of work. That's what this is saying here. I mean, and I don't mean no disrespect to women or anything, but not everybody fit this description. You may be a woman, but you don't fit this description. I mean, there are some men out there that don't fit the description of a real man. I mean, let's just put it where it is. If your feelings hurt, next time I preach this, then don't let it hurt you. That's the way I look at it. So the next time I come around this, and if it's affecting you today, then the next time I preach it, then don't let it affect you. That's how you get it right. Amen. So she gets up early in the morning and gets things done. I mean, she's on it. You know what I mean? In the time of Solomon, this involved making fabric and sewing and clothing. You know, and certainly if you look at verse 27, it applies directly to us today. Taking care of our responsibility is a characteristic of wisdom. Amen? So we need to understand it's a characteristic of wisdom. What this is also saying, she's educated about the world as well. Okay? She's educated about the world and the world of business. She knows how to use her skills to provide for her family. And she's not afraid to interact with that world, whether it be as a merchant or a buyer. She knows how to use her strength to her best advantage, and she fully realizes how valuable her efforts are. I'm gonna say this to you. You know, when I got married, I'm gonna tell you, I'm not a shopper. I don't like shopping. Shopping just doesn't do anything for me. But I thank God that I have a wife, a mother that knows how to shop. And man, she's good at it. She's great at it. If I go into the store, she can tell me what aisle to walk down. It's as if she's looking at the cameras and watching me and say, turn down this aisle. And man, that's how well and that's how understandable she knows. This is what this scripture is talking about, you know, being a merchant and a seller. You know, she knows the prices. And man, you know, sometimes you don't want to watch Price is Right with her because she look at their price. Oh, that's just too expensive. I don't know why they got that price up there like that. But she knows the prices. And man, she knows how to conduct herself. She knows that as a partner in her marriage, she has a tremendous influence on her husband's ministry. She can integrate her life, both domestic and professional. Amen. With her ministry in such a way that her husband has the freedom to serve. Amen. Her reputation is so established that it actually bleeds off on him. Older women, seasoned women, amen, mature women have a God-given responsibility to teach the younger women how to be wives, mother, and homemakers. Young women also have a responsibility, and that is to listen to the older, mature women and to avail themselves to their wisdom. I can sit and talk to an older person for hours. Why? Because my spirit craves that wisdom. It's like, man, the more you give it to me or the more you talk, the more my spirit is enjoying the wisdom that is coming from the mature, seasoned people. So who is teaching our younger Christian women of today? Who is shaping their family values? It's really television. The world is sending all kind of negative messages to our young women. Society influences our children, but it doesn't nurture them like it should. That's because it starts at home. No one is a perfect parent, so we all have room for improvement. Amen. We need some mature women who have been married for years to step up and say, you have the right to keep your commitment, your vow before God. And it's not your love that sustains your commitment. It's your commitment that sustains your love. Amen? We need older women to say, we've had our share of problems, bigger ones than you have and more of them, but it's hard work because of commitment. See, the world says, if this pregnancy is unplanned, then just go and destroy the evidence. Older women must respond and say, the circumstances which surround a pregnancy do not determine the value of the child. Doesn't. We're preaching that Jesus is the answer to the world's problem. That Jesus is the solid rock on which to build a marriage and home. But for the most part, the world doesn't listen to what we say, but oh, how they watch what we do. See, the government nor schools are are the solution to fixing the problems with our children. The responsibility for raising children, according to the Bible, belongs to the parents. Organizations, people from outside the home might support those efforts, but the responsibility is laid at the feet of the family. It's not the job of a specialist. It's the job of the parents. That's why you always hear people talking about having night basketball. Night basketball is putting people on the streets. Because how are they going to get home? Are they going to stay there? We try all kinds of things to try to have the answer to the problems that is going on. God has in his word the answer to the problem. The public school system that raised most of the young women of today is the same one which kicked God out. Amen? When they were young. And to think that it's capable of teaching sex education correctly is wrong. It is not up to the school, and we need some older women who would teach the younger women by example and by word. We need mothers who would do the same for their daughters. Sometimes some of the things that I hear parents say to their children, it disgusts me. They rather have tradition going on in the family than the word of God going on. That's not the way it's supposed to be. First, understand that the Bible plainly teaches that a woman's primary responsibilities are domestic. Although the excellent wife of Proverbs 31 not described as having a career like most modern women in our society have, she was certainly not idle. Amen? She kept herself busy by working with her hands. Amen. Most women of yesterday, I say yesterday, that's for the seasoned women. I mean, they could do it all. I mean, they got the sewing down. They got the cooking down. I mean, they made, if they didn't have it, they made it. Amen. And then they raised it. Amen. They did it all. I mean, there is no comparison. I mean, some of them, you know, if there's a kitchen in the place, they say, well, I think it's in here somewhere. I'm just saying the yesterday women have a lot of experience that they could teach these younger women. And then also it was talking about she kept herself busy with her hands, providing food and for her household, making clothes for her family to sell to others, making purchases for the household, and helping those in need. You know, this kind of reminds me of what my wife is doing. My wife has a multiple characteristics, which is wonderful in the sense where she kind of, you know, recycle things. In other words, you know, what she does is when, you know, my kids really don't know about new clothes, you know, because they're more of clothes that have been given to us. And then she takes what we have, and then she goes and she sells that. And then we get the money from that, and then she goes and get more stuff. So, I mean, it's a beautiful thing of how a woman can do those type of things. This is what the king's mother was trying to tell him, the type of wife you need to have. Making purchases and helping those in need. The older women must teach the younger women about these domestic responsibilities in order to train them to be workers at home. Those who would fall into the category of the older women, you all have a serious responsibility. Very serious. The younger women are not going to learn these lessons from our society, from their peers, or from the modern books on marriage, parenting, and womanhood. But God still wants the younger women to learn and develop these qualities. As a man and a preacher, I can teach the truth on these things, and it and it can be helpful. But any effort made by me or other men cannot compare with a faithful, older, seasoned woman can teach, mentoring, and showing by example. Amen? Mothers and fathers are different. We are. They think different, act different, and process emotions differently. Men may enjoy advantages in physical strength, but they are much less likely than women to exercise their spiritual muscles. It's a gender gap that extends to the typical family unit. Mothers outpace fathers in the terms of spiritual activity and commitment. It's just the way that it is now. You know, if you count, I guarantee you, if we count right now, you have more women in here than you have men. Men are told to be strong, lead the family. Oftentimes, behind closed doors of the house, men will lose their mind without their wife, especially as it relates to taking care of the kids. I remember not too long ago, my daughter had a 102 temp, and I'm sitting, I'm at the house, and I'm gonna be honest with you, she's tough. She may be small, but that little girl is tough. I mean, you would know she was not feeling well. I mean, because she's just that tough. And here's my point. I'm sitting there going like, man, her temperature is spiking. And I'm sitting there going like, oh, God, where's Sonya? I'm like, Sonya, Sonya's at school. But I'm like, I'm going to do it this little bit. In other words, when I'm up here preaching, I look like I got it together. But behind closed doors, where's my wife? Oh, why she got to leave right now? I'm just basically saying that it's tough, you know, and I'm trying to. Okay, so I remember, okay, put them in the tub. Get the temperature down. Okay, where's the. And see, with me, I'm not good at looking for stuff. So it's got to be where it needs to be. You can't be putting it here and putting it there. That don't work with me. So I was looking for the thermometer, and I was like, oh, God, where is the thermometer? Where is it? Y'all know the thermometer's right there on the dresser. I said, oh, what did Sonya do with the thermometer? I'm losing my mind behind closed doors, okay? And then I said, okay, hey, I need y'all, and we got to go. We got to go. I had to go into the store and get a thermometer. Y'all think I'm playing with you? This is serious business. I went to the store, and Jeremiah walking around. He's just, I mean, he's out of it. I said, oh, God, this boy going to pass out on me. So I get to the store. Now I got to find out where's the thermometer in the store. So I get that. Normally, I go into the store. I just ask one to say, hey, I need to find, I'm trying to be here all day. Where is this at? Point me and take me directly to it. So I get all that, and I get this popsicle, and I say, hey, Jeremiah, suck on that. And then so I get him home, and I get him in the tub, and this is between the two. I mean, Jeremiah had it first, and then Sabrina had the temp, because Sabrina likes to be by her brother and all of this type of stuff. So he was sick first, and then she gets sick, and then I got double whammy. So my point is, what I'm saying is that guys will lose their mind behind closed doors. And y'all know when y'all know how I'm not exaggerating. This stuff is true. I mean, I'm literally going, losing my mind. But my point is, what I'm trying to tell you is that, you know, when Sonya's at home sick with the children, she's calm. I'm serious. She's calm. She's got it together. See, a mother can really, in a sense, multitask, cook, clean, wash, help with homework, all that type of stuff. Men, we have to focus on one thing at a time. Don't know. Not right now for that. Just don't come with me with that. Let me do this first. Okay, well, I'm going to do this first. Then we'll talk about that. But don't come with all this other stuff. I can't. My brain don't work that fast. It's buffing. Seriously, my brain is buffing. It's. And then when it does get, I'm like, it's like, you know how it fast forward. Let me process this first. Mothers that have this ability that they can do multiple things. I found that out at an early age. My mom was on the phone and talking to her. I didn't think that she could reach me. Found that out at an early age. Woo! She can reach you by way of hand or shoe. She can reach you. So what I'm trying to get you to understand is that, you know, sometimes, you know, I hear women or you know, wives say that, well, I'm raising three children. I said, three? You got two children. They said, no, we're talking about I'm raising him too. Oh, what? Sorry, didn't get it. It came to me later. That's that buffing again. God, I was like, okay, you got three. Didn't know it. A mother, a wonderful person that God gives special instant intuition as it relates to their children. A good mother has a bond to her children that a father does not have. One that carry with it the teaching to a child that will carry that to their childhood. In our society today, mothers are not appreciated as much as they should or used to be. They're not. You can look at the television shows and you can see that mothers, it's not like the back in the day where you see the Leave It to Beaver type of parenting. Or the Cosbys or the Brady Bunch, you know, those are the shows that, you know, back in the day, you don't see the respect and everything. Now mothers are downgraded to a position just above a childhood friend or their kids. I'm sorry. I know that it sounds sweet, sounds nice, but when children say that, Mom, you are my best friend, or you that downgraded you. That's not anything worthy of honor. Amen. It's certainly, and if you don't really understand it, I mean the Bible speaks to it, but it's not a compliment. And if you understand, it's not a compliment. It's really a downgrade because I don't need another friend. I don't need a friend. I need a mama. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, I'll disrespect a friend, but I'm not going to disrespect my mama. You know, so when they downgrade it, basically they're downgrading you to a level that is lower than a mother. That's what they downgrade. I don't want to downgrade. That's my mother. I need a mother. I don't need a friend. I need a mother. I need a mother. We have lost the meaning of the term honor your mother. The word honor simply means to show respect, to give recognition, not just on Mother's Day, but every day. Okay? When Paul wrote Ephesians, he addressed the need of honoring parents by reminding the children that this was one of the Ten Commandments that carry with it a promise. The fact that this commandment carry with it a promise demonstrate how important this commandment is to each of us. Amen. Parents have authority over their children until the day that they die. Amen. It's just that simple. I don't care if you're grown. You're grown. I don't care if you're grown. That's still mama. That's still daddy. When you get done with it, that is still your parents. So you respect them. Amen? Because the Bible says honor. You want to know why young people are dying early? Because they're not honoring. It shortens your days. Look at the people dying. All these young people dying. No honor. I'm going to tell you something. Whether you believe God's word or not, it don't stop it from being true. Now, go and read God's word. It don't stop it. The fact that you don't believe it is making it more of reality. Come on now, you don't disrespect your parents. That's why all these young people are dying out here. Think they know everything. You don't know nothing. You don't know anything. So, you know, we get the sense that when, you know, I'm 18, I'm grown. Watch how you say that. And watch where you say it. Amen? We need to understand that the fact that we are at this point where we're talking about I'm grown and all this type of stuff, we need to understand something. When the Bible says honor your mother and father, this fulfillment carries a commandment with it's a warning. It's also a warning. Nowhere in the scripture does it ever say that this commandment is now null and void. It is, in other words, what the scripture is saying is still active and carries the same promise. You got to honor your parents. Honor our parents carries the promise of long life. Long life. How do we honor them, Pastor? We honor them by how we treat them as well as how we live our own lives. We respect them by doing what our parents say do. Amen? We need to understand that when, if you, how else do I honor my parents, Pastor? Well, for example, you know your parents are church-going people. I want to say church-going people, I'm sorry. When I say your parents tend church. Your parents are spirit-filled, born-again believers. Don't be trying to call them on Sunday holding them up. Or if you are an out-of-town child and you come in town, knowing that they go to church, you didn't bring no church clothes. You be coming as you are. For real. Amen? I don't care what you got on. Fruit of the Looms, everything. You will come as you are. I promise you that. Because you won't be in my house. We need to understand that you know this about your parents. But we want to hold them up, knowing they got somewhere to go, something to do, but you want to do this because you ain't going to church. You ain't praising the Lord. Let me tell you something. Don't do that to your parents. Let me say this. You want to talk to them, meet them here at church. I mean, have a conversation with them here. Don't hold them up while they trying to get ready. Amen? I ain't preaching about nobody here. We don't do that stuff here. Ways to honor your mother. How can I honor my parents, Pastor? Well, do what you're told to do. No back talk. And man, I'm trying to get my son. He always got to have, maybe he should be a lawyer. He always got something to say. I mean, you say, Jeremiah, do this. Then he want to debate with you. Jeremiah, go. That's the problem with us. When God tells us to do something, we want to get in a debate with him. Instead of being obedient to God's word, we want to argue. We want to say why or one day ain't understand. God is saying, boy, if I could just get somebody to go. So I'm like, Jeremiah, can I get you to go in the direction that I'm telling you? Otherwise, something will be following behind you. Honor your mother and your father. This will prolong your life. The Bible teaches us that honoring mother and father is right. This command is not difficult to understand. The command is found throughout the Bible. It appears in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. That's scripture, y'all. So if you ever want to know why these young people are dying, right there. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This ain't Pastor Ronnie's doctrine. This is the word of God. Don't be hating me. The Ten Commandments are repeated. Again, honor your father and your mother. It's throughout the scriptures. I mean, if you ever open up the Bible and read it, you see it. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a person that when I read something and I see it, then I'm like, oh, there it is. I got to obey it now. I'm like, oh boy, I got to eat it. But some of us are like, I'm mad, like, I ain't see that. You know, that's how some of us get. I ain't see that. I'm just going to ignore that anyway. No, I ain't got to that chapter yet, Pastor. Why does God tell us to honor our parents? Because they're worthy. Scripture is clear that the command to love your neighbor is not limited to our friendly neighbor or even our known neighbor. Husbands are called to live their lives not only when they are lovable. Wives are to respect their husbands and not only when they are respectable. Citizens under cruel government are still called to submit to those in authority. Clearly, the Bible teaches us that our relational commitments are to be unconditional. No matter how nasty they might be, neighbors are to be cared for, wives to be loved, governments to be respected, and parents, whether we consider them honorable or not, we are to honor them because that's the word of God. I learned in life, anytime you go up against God, you ain't going to win. I want you to know his record. He's undefeated. Amen? He ain't been touched. Honor our parents, our mothers. Honor our mothers. First of all, for giving birth to you. That's the first thing that makes them worthy. They labored. They gave birth. I was here. My wife told me, she said, I don't care what your job says. She said, when this child is born, you better be in that delivery room. Y'all know I was there for both of them. Amen. My job was working me all. My job had me working all kind of crazy hours. My wife said in a still, small voice, she said, I don't care what they got you working. She said, I know one thing. You better be at that hospital. I drove over there on two occasions. Sure did. Full tank of gas, too. I heard the word loud and clear. Having a child is not only a matter of privilege, joy, and excitement, it also carries great responsibility and measure of burden. When a woman first finds out that she is pregnant, there is joy. But soon the morning sickness starts. Later in pregnancy, there is discomfort because of the weight of the growing child that they have inside of them. And sometimes, you know, you're sharing your body with this child. And this child puts this, when this child lays in uncomfortable position, it makes you uncomfortable. I remember when Jeremiah was in Sonia's womb, just as he's busy now, all over the place. We go someplace, Jeremiah's already touching something. We ain't even get in the store good. That boy is touching stuff. Like, Jeremiah, stop touching. Put your hands to your side. He's already touching stuff. So when Jeremiah was in Sonia's womb, Sonia was sitting on the couch. And next thing you know, man, I'd say it was the elbow. We just go, I'm looking like that boy. Sonia's like, you, this little boy. He was a busybody inside. So I can only imagine. So when the child is born, that doesn't end the challenge. We have to understand that it's the constant pain that a woman deals with when she gives birth. Because, you know, you're dealing with that child. When that child is not home, let's just say if they're out and you're at home and you ain't going to sleep. A mother's not going to sleep good until that child comes home. I mean, that's just real. That mother is not, until she hear that door opens, she's not going to sleep good. Now, the daddy may be in there calling hogs. Somebody got to get some sleep. I'm just saying. I don't mean no disrespect. I'm just saying. Somebody got to get some sleep. I mean, y'all will wake us up when it's trouble. Trust me. I know you would do that. But that mother will not go to sleep until she hear that front door open. And I'm going to tell you this, it better open at the right time. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It better open at the right time, because if it don't open at the, she don't even need to see a clock. She can tell a clock by the moon. I know that moon is on this side of the house. I know they better be in this house. That's a mama for you. Honor the mother for their position. God has created a system by which the world functions smoothly by, when you honor parents in parts of that. Amen? When you do it the way God has ordained it to be, it operates smoothly. I was watching TV one day and it said it was planned perfectly, but it wasn't executed perfectly. So in other words, it let me know that the person who was executing it didn't pay attention. Y'all don't, I mean, they say it was a perfectly planned operation, but it wasn't executed. God has perfectly put things in order. I laid the foundation a few Sundays ago when I said, he said, it's very good. Laid a good foundation. What happened? It wasn't executed right by us. God did not bring sin into the world. We did that. Because God said, look back after everything that he created, said it was good. Even when he got done with us, he said, it is very good. So how do you get sin out of that? You don't. You get it when we don't execute God's plan. So that's how these young people are dying at an early age, because they're not executing the plan that the parents are trying to teach them. They know everything. No, you don't. The fact that you said that, let me know you don't know everything. Because you're talking foolish right now. See, a child that knows everything wouldn't have said that. That lets me know you don't know everything. Honorable for loving. Who's the first one the children run to? You know, there's a thing that we used to do, that I used to do, and you know, I planned, you know, you set the baby there and see who the baby going to run to or come to you, stretch your arms out. You know, they would always run to Sonya. They wouldn't run to me. I couldn't get them to come to me. If we do it now, Sabrina certainly, you know, I whispered, I'm going to tell you something. I went into her bedroom one night, and I would kiss them during the middle of the night, you know, kiss them on their little foreheads and little cheek, and just make sure they tucked in position, because they some wild sleepers, boy. And so I would tuck them in, and then so I whispered in Sabrina's ear, I kissed her, I said, I love you, Sabrina. Sabrina turned over, I just want my mama. I said, look at that. I said, this little girl. Why, I was so mad. Oh, I was so mad. Oh. I'm trying to tell her, I'm trying to give her some love and affection. I said, I love you. She's going to say, I just want my mama. See, that's what I'm telling you, boy. They hurt. It hurt. Love hurts. I'm telling you, it does. So what I'm trying to say, we still need to honor our parents, you know, because the kids, you know, mothers are the first ones that they're going to run to. Mothers are the first one they're going to run to. When Jeremiah hurt himself, I'm looking at him, I'm like, no, you better not show me a tear. I don't want to see it. Well, see, a wife will see it like, oh, mama's baby. How can I compete with that? First of all, I'm not going to, not going to do that. I'm going to say to Jeremiah, I don't want to see a tear. Toughen up. Dried up. And he's sitting there going like, his eyes are already big. He's just making them even bigger. Try to keep the water from falling. So he's trying to make a cup for it. Honor for the mothers for their spiritual examples. Because the testimonies that they give. Mothers are usually the ones that leads the children to the Lord. And I know that doesn't make it sounds good for the men, but it is the way it is, men. Mothers are generally the ones that's leading their children to the Lord. Why? Because generally you have a single parent home now. The mothers are raising the kids. The father is out playing. You probably catch him on the swing or something. I don't know. But he ain't where he's supposed to be. He's out probably clubbing, but you got that mother that's instilling inside of them. I don't know in the Bible, I don't know where Timothy's dad was, but I know that his grandmother and his mother was raising him. Amen? So I'm just only telling you that it ain't nothing that's new that just started. It's been there. Mothers who love the Lord and then pass it on to the children. Mothers live a worthy life so that your children can also see the Lord. Let me tell you something. How you respond to crisis, how things are going on, is how your children are going to respond. I mean, if you are panicking, then your children's going to panic. I'm going to tell you something. I never knew growing up that we didn't have. I didn't. I'm going to be honest with you, but I hear the stories of my parents saying, I always wonder, I said, why are we always eating pork and beans? You know, eating pork and beans. I'm tired of eating pork and beans. I'm tired of eating this. Why are we always eating this? Well, I didn't know that money was short. I mean, I thought when the light didn't come on, it needed a bulb. I mean, come on now. I'm just telling you. We need to understand that there's something that in parenting, in motherhood, that we need to pass down to our children. Amen? So as I close, as we need to understand, mothers are very, very key to society. Very key to, there's a reason why God placed that woman there in that household. Because there's something that women give that men don't give. Amen? But we balance one another. Amen? We balance each other. It's not to say that one is better. It's to say that we balance each other. Amen? We need to stop this men are better than women, women are better. Why are we still talking about this? You leaving room for the devil to come in. As I read into you in Genesis, as soon as God did the wedding ceremony, it didn't take long for the devil to come. We allow the devil to come in by going through arguments, by saying this and that about each other. Why don't we just love on each other? And the devil be like, man, I can't go in there. That's too much loving. You see what I'm saying? We allow the devil room to come into our lives and wonder what happened. Then we go blame God. You can blame God about anything you want to blame him. But when I go back to the Bible, God said it was good and very good. It ain't God that's doing this. It is you. Amen? So, as I close, we need to understand that mothers, very special, very special. They're underpaid. They have to deal with a lot of on-call. They're your true first responders. Amen? I mean, I know we hear about police officers and firefighters, but your true first responders are your mothers. It could be a park full of kids. I guarantee you, when that child cries, that mother going to know it's her child. It ain't going to be no false alarm. Amen. It'll be like, oh, the baby crying over there. You just, ain't mine. I'm just saying. But in a sense, I'm saying that not in a negative sense. I'm saying she knows it's not theirs, but that mother still will go and see the aid of that child. But that mother knows when it's her son's or child cry. How you know that? Who moves the fastest? Amen? Amen. So today is a day that we honor mothers. And today is a special day because we are setting also this time aside to honor Sister Moore. Amen? We're going to honor her and in a very special way. And here's how we're going to do this. Sister Moore, can you stand? So, I would say, you know, Sister Moore, she probably wondered, why am I wearing this? At least I didn't do what Joe's Crab Shack did, have you to go around on your birthday and just say boo to everybody. I didn't do that. But there's a reason why you're wearing this. And here's the reason why. The reason why you're wearing this is because of this special day. And it's special in many ways. One, you have, long before now, have transitioned over into motherhood. This is just doing a recognition of you transitioning over from sisterhood to motherhood. Now, back when you were growing up, I'm not dealing with age, I'm just dealing with time. At the time you were coming out of high school, it was honorable to, you know, have a diploma, okay? So you had a diploma, because that was the thing back then, very popular. And then back then, the women normally will get married with the man and be the housewife, or some of them will get jobs as a secretary. And that was the most popular thing back then. You know, one of the things I'm doing today is honoring you today with a degree. And yes, I'm honoring you today with a degree in motherhood. And it's a honorary degree. It's a doctorate degree. Here's what it says. Rhema Worship Center. Be it known that in recognition of her distinguished achievements, the board of Rhema Worship Center has conferred upon Barbara June O'Bannon Moore the honorary degree of Doctor of Motherhood, with all the rights and privileges pertaining to that degree, issued by the Board of Rhema Worship Center, given at Belleville, Illinois, this 13th day of May, 2018. Dr. Ronald L. Caroline, Senior Pastor, Brother Robert Pittman, Senior Church Executive Board. This is an honor for you. And I know that, and some people say, well, how can you give, Pastor, how can you give an honorary doctor's degree to such a person? Well, first of all, an honorary doctor degree doesn't mean academics. Amen? It doesn't mean academics. So, therefore, people can hush, because we're not talking about academics. So you don't earn an honorary doctorate degree through academics, achievement. Rather, they receive these awards based on a generous and unselfish action of lifetime accomplishment that benefits a community, nation, and humanity in general. Amen? Beneficiary of the honor degree can use this title as doctor for the things that they've done. The first thing, when my first child was born, she said to me, I'm giving back to you what my mother gave to me. And that was a babysitter. Amen? Y'all know how expensive babysitting is? Do I need to tell y'all? Very expensive. She immediately took them and raised them, helped me. Me and my wife raised them, gave them a great environment, provided food for them, did all of those things. Now, she didn't just do that for my children. I'm just telling you about mine. But she did that throughout the years for other people that you all don't know. Motherhood. Not only that, she can also do things that you all probably don't even know she can do. Let me tell you something. See, people go to school and we get these degrees and then we leave broke. Amen? Amen. We leave broke. We don't have no money. Don't ask us for anything. We ain't got no money. Go ask the school we gave it to. Amen? And here's the thing. The school make you pay for books that they don't even teach out of. But you still got to pay for it. Listen to where I'm going with it. There's a point that I'm trying to make. Because everything that's in those books, those teachers are not teaching you. You want me to tell you what they're teaching you? Life experience. I had a teacher one time that said, well, the school said we got to cover this chapter. He said, I'm going to take my hand and I'm going to place it over this chapter and I'm going to say we covered it. And then he took his hand off. He said, we're going to go to the next chapter. I'm going to take my hand and I'm going to say we covered this chapter. He didn't teach out of the book word for word, but what he did teach was life experience. This is what you've done. You taught from a life experience. No textbook can teach you what you learned. So you don't have to say that I didn't go to college. You learn more what anybody in college have learned. You can teach them what the college has not taught them. You can teach them what their parents haven't taught them. How do I know this? Because I've seen you in action. See, you can sew. You can cook. You can make things. You took a piece of old furniture and you made it new. How do I know that? Because it's right over there. I see it every time I come into this sanctuary. Because you took it and you said, I can make it new. I can make it better. That's motherhood. Who takes your scrapes, your burns, your downfall, and then picks you up and says, I can make it better. That's why today you earn the degree of Doctor of Motherhood. You don't get this lesson by sitting in the classroom. Your mother taught you this valuable lesson. She taught you something more than what any university could teach you. Which you don't realize that you was at the University of Dorothy Mae Carson O'Bannon. From the time you were born, she was teaching you these things. All of these things you know how to do. Let me tell you something, what you all don't know. See, back in the day, old school parenting, you didn't have the Walgreens. You didn't have the CVS pharmacy. You didn't have the Snooks pharmacy. You had an in-home pharmacy. Why? Because they made their own medicine. When you got sick, they made their medicine. They didn't go to the counter and get it. They went to the tree. They went to the yard. They went out there and they made the medicine. And let me tell you something. It cured you. Old school. But now, these young mothers, these young people, we don't know how to do that stuff. We don't know how to provide without. You know, we feel, oh, man, we ain't got this. The pharmacy is closed. How am I going to do this? Well, you know how to get them through the night. You were like that triage nurse. You was like that on-call nurse. You was that after hours. You was doing bedside care. So you was that nurse that child needed and crying in the middle of the night. You was the one that got up to see about them. Old school parenting. Did your rounds through the night to check on your children. Old school parenting. Took the time out with your children. See, I've learned that when you get to this point in life, doesn't define the age of the person. People think, well, is the person old enough to be a mother? Let me tell you something. I don't mean no disrespect. There are some old fools. Amen? And there are some young fools. Age certainly doesn't make that person a mother. Amen? Y'all better realize that. So stop doing what the world, oh, well, you 65 or you this. No. No. Wisdom. Wisdom. There it is right there. Wisdom. What you have learned and what you have brought throughout the years, you need to teach that. Pass that down to the next generation. There's a lot of home remedies that are in the grave. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. There's a lot of home remedies that's in the grave. There's a lot of things that are leaving this generation, because what's happening is people, it's not that the older generation don't want to share it, it's that the younger generation are not listening. And then when the parents are gone, we try to say, well, I think mama used to, you think mama what? Were you listening? When you start saying think, you're not sure. Even Eve got to that point where she said, did God not say what? Just what? No, you have to know. So on this day, you graduate with honors. Summa cum laude. So as they do in the graduation, too late to say hold your applause. Y'all already did that. So you come up and receive your doctorate of motherhood. God bless you. Amen. I want to make sure that everyone after service greet our graduate. She came up as Sister Barbara Moore. She went down as Mother Barbara Moore of the church. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to open up the doors of the church. We extend an invitation to Christ. We extend an invitation to Christ. We open up the doors of the church. This is the time that you can come and If you don't have a church home, you can make this your church home. We extend an invitation. Whosoever will, let them come. Amen. Amen. In honor of our mothers, again, Mother Gloria, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And now, Mother Moore of the church. Amen. These are our two mothers, amen, of the church. I pray that God will continue to bless us and bless this church, that we have the mothers to teach, amen, the ways that God wants us to know, amen. I pray that we would decrease and that the Spirit of God would increase inside of us, amen. As we get ready to dismiss, I just ask that everyone please greet our newest mother of the church. Let us all stand. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever.